see. They never wanted me. The curse is laid upon my race. Useless serpents, they bring disgrace. A man without a face. Time they pass again. It's so hard to tell where and when. Yeah, just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste. All the lies that they told erased. A man without face. A man without a 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 face.
Welcome, dear ladies and gentlemen, to the Rabbit Hole Radio Show with your host, David James. Hello, everybody. Hello, dear kinswomen and kinsmen. How doth thou doest? Listen, I want to explain something to you. I wonder if any of you said, geez, there hasn't been a midweek news in 2 weeks. Well, here's what I want to tell you is that the first week that was missed, a brother was here and we were working on the house. And I said to myself, you know, we're talking about going the extra mile all the time, which I do 4 to 5 shows a week. And I said to myself, well, if somebody gives a donation, I will do the news. You see, because I do believe why I would say something like that is, I do believe that there's too many people that are just taking and not giving anything. And I don't want to really mention this type of thing, but it's like I'm letting you know why and what's going on. So I said to myself, well, I'm going to let it go another week. If I don't see anything happening and this and that, we'll see if the people even care about the midweek news report. And if you want to know the honest opinion, I don't think anybody cares about it. I don't know because nobody wrote me. Nobody's written and said, hey, Dave, is there something wrong? There's no midweek news. You know what I mean? And that seems to be one of the shows that has the most views, so I understand that it's popular. But it's not popular to support it. So what happens when it just goes away? That's what my idea is. Well, what do you care if it goes away? If you don't care if it goes away, then why am I bothering with it? You know what I mean? I could put that time to other things. So I don't know. Maybe you would like to write me and tell me that you like the midweek news. And if you've suffered because of this, because I know people are looking forward to the show, my apologies to you that you had to, you know, do without the show because people are so selfish. I mean, you know, I don't know what to say about it. I guess our people, you know, they'll give to every Jew under the sun. They'll give to every Jew cause under the sun. But, you know, they'll give to all the Jew truth movement and fakes like Andrew Carrington Hitchcock. but they won't give to somebody that tells them the truth. I just think that's, you know, incredible. Absolutely incredible. And you wonder why the world is in the condition it's in. You support the enemies of your own race and your own God and your own country and the world. And when somebody comes along that you know is telling you the truth and that you know is not one of the Jew truth movement people, you don't support them, meaning me. And there's probably some others too. But it seems that the Jew truth movement is about 95% Jew. It's just weird. That's all I'm saying. It's not that this is all about money. It's that, but you know, I'm trying to, you know, eat, you know, pay my bills and that kind of stuff. And the site comes up next month where, you know, it's $382 for 2 years. It's biannually. So I have to come up with $382 plus $29 for the donating name plus, $25 more for the green certificate. Those are two yearly things, you know? So, you know, otherwise I have to put that on a credit card and pay interest on it. So I don't think it's unfair to say, hey, will you help me with something like that? Can we chip in and help me so that I don't have to go into debt for it? Or maybe you just don't care. I really don't know. I don't know what to think. You know, I will say this. The Father has revealed many, many, many things on my shows. And many of you know that. It really doesn't matter how good the show is. Our brothers and sisters, now I'm not looking for you to praise me. I'm looking for you to praise the Father. But I don't hear it from many people at all saying, oh my goodness, that is incredible what the Father revealed there. Glory to the Father. You know, I don't care about you telling me, oh, Dave, you're wonderful and all that. I don't need any of that. It's just, I don't know what's going on with people. I really don't know what's happening with them. And, you know, for the size audience I have, if even, you know, 20% gave something, it would be decent. But it's much less than that. It's more like 5%, if that. And to me, that's alarming. I know there's brothers and sisters out there that are being attacked by the world, and they're like me. They don't have anything. I have my home, but I don't have any money. I don't have any medical, which probably I don't want anyway. You know, I never had medical my whole life until Massachusetts forced us to have it. It was good old Mitt Romney. And then, you know, what they did was they gave you a policy and then they would raise it up $50 to $100 every year, you know, because you were paying for another Mexican or another whatever. You know, and I never needed it really. Praise the Father. And so I would stay away from it as long as I could, because the thing is no good at all. It might help a few of us, but it kills more than it helps. But anyway, I don't know what's going on in your brains. I really don't know. But either you want to keep somebody around that you enjoy. You know, when you enjoy shows, say if this goes away, you know, and I have to say, well, I can't, I'm not able to continue on this. I know you can just go to YouTube and listen to 95% Jews. You don't need me, right? I don't know what's going on, but all I can say is it's certainly perplexing to me. Anyway, that I just wanted to let you know. I will probably continue with the news. But again, in time, I may do the same thing. I might just say, well, listen, if there's no interest, see, in, you know, Hollywood or any of these things or television, when people lose interest in something, they cancel the show. Please tell me you're not interested. I mean, you're already kind of telling me that as it is. But please don't make me do these shows if you don't care about them and you don't want to support them. Okay, so I just wanted to let you know what I was kind of dealing with that. I was thinking of actually letting it go another week to just see if anyone even cares. It appears right now that 2 weeks have gone by, not a soul, not a word, not a peep. This kind of tells me, well, I guess nobody cares. They don't even notice that the news isn't there. You know what I mean? So what am I to think about that? Write me and tell me. So we're on page 248 on Maurice Pinet's The Plot Against the Church. We've learned a lot about Rome in this particular book. We've learned a lot of, there's been a lot of cross references between the different items that I'm doing that are covering similar, the same things, but giving more details than the other gave, which is very interesting to me. It's not planned by me, just that's the way it is. So it says, the position of the Jews on the eve of the decline of the Roman Western Empire is described to us by the Jew Gretz as follows. The fanaticism of Theodosius II, the second, was also alive in the emperor of the Western Empire, Honorius and his absurd laws. Both placed the Jews in that abnormal position in which the then developing new Germanic states found them. It was already no longer permitted the Jews, as was previously the case, to occupy public offices or to obtain military ranks. That's very wise. The historian and great friend of the Jews, José Amador de los Ríos, says in commenting upon the situation of the Jews in the empire after the Iliberian Council, this is the quote, the situation that the fathers of the Iliberian Council created by virtue of such legal ideas could not be more awkward and distressing for the sons of Israel. The sons of Israel. Sure. Inspired without doubt by the same spirit that is reported to us at the end of the century as the lyre of prudence reveals. These church fathers gave a striking example of the regrettable animosity which that host of unfortunate Jewish believers all over the world encounters, upon whose shoulders rest terrible accusations of deicide. Such Jewish and Semitophilic historians, lament the situation of the Jews, I don't, in the last days of the Roman world. However, they are careful not to mention the true reasons which place them in that situation. It is worthy to note that Catholicism attained its complete triumph in the empire exactly at the time when the Jewish beast was enchained. A highly significant coincidence. Therefore, the invasion of the Teutonic Aryans was for the Jews a great triumph, albeit only a temporary one. The northern Teutonic tribes, standing under the influence of the Aryan sects, you remember the heresy of Arius the Jew, in fact pursued a policy of friendship and alliance with the Jews, which was opposed to that observed by the triumphant Catholics in the Roman Empire. On the basis of this circumstance, the situation of the Jews and the Catholics in the Western Empire altered with the invasion of the barbarians into the Western Empire, the former chambered once more upon the ladder of power and of influence, while the Catholics, especially in some districts, had to suffer the cruelest persecutions. Some assure us that the Jews, encouraged by the Teutonic leaders to fall upon the empire, and that they were even helpful to them with carrying out of the conquest. We have had no time to set up the exact investigation concerning this point, but in the Jewish Castilian Encyclopedia we find something very interesting. Under the reference word of Arianism, which refers to the good treatment of the Jews on the part of the Arian intruders, the following is stated. As a consequence of the tolerant treatment shown them by the invaders, the Jews declared their solidarity with them, and in their wars against the Catholic monarchies. Thus, they took an active part in the defense of Arles, 508, against Clovis, the king of the Franks, and in that of Naples, 537, against Justinian. The Jewish historian Gretz remarks in addition, that in Italy, since the time of the Republic, the existence is known of the Jews, who enjoyed full political rights until these were taken away from them by the Christian emperors. They, the Jews, probably viewed the fall of Rome with great satisfaction and were delighted when they saw that the city which had guided the fates of the world was transformed into the booty of the barbarians and subject to the derision of the whole world. Well, let me make a comment on this. It appears that Germany helped the Jews during World War II as well. You know about the transfer agreement. You know that the Germans, which are of Teutonic origin, I believe, and I'm German, they treated the Jews kindly, in the same way it says about here about Rome. So it seems it's a lie about them not being citizens of Rome. It seems that they were given, they had synagogues. They had, I believe they had property and all kinds of things and influence in the government, obviously. And yes, some of these Christian, as is with any nation, when these Jews get in your nation and they begin doing the things that they always do, pretty soon they're being persecuted for doing what they've done to the indigenous people and to the country, etc., as we've read in this book. So the Germans, just like the United States, have been the most friendly to these Jews. And Rome had been friendly to them too. And what has happened to Rome? And what has happened to Germany? And what has happened to the United States? You see, there's this, I don't know if it's a law or whatever it is, but the seed of Abraham, whom we are, and the Jews are not, were to be a blessing and are to be a blessing to all nations. We have blessed all nations, and the Jews that have come among us, we've blessed them. But we've received no blessing in return from any of the other peoples of the world, except maybe Japan. And we've mistreated them as well. So it's very interesting to see that this is something that goes on empire after empire after empire, and nobody ever learns. They learned for a while, but look what happens eventually. And so these Teutons came in, these so-called barbarians, and the Jews sided up with them against the Romans. You see how it works? You see, the Romans were kind to them. They abused that kindness and abused the Romans. Then they received some punishment for that. And now they're totally against the Romans. See, they were anyway. The reason why they were getting punished is because they were subverting the government, subverting the nation, etc., etc., in every way they possibly could. And that's what they're doing here in America. And that's what they're doing in every Israelite country in the world. You see, it's the opposite of what should be. When you bless somebody, see, when the Jew blesses you and gives you a gift, the Jew expects the gift plus the gift that keeps on giving in return. When you bless the Jew wants to harm you and does not want to give any blessing in return, unless there's some ulterior motive to gain a higher place in the situation. And this is the same with all the rest of the beasts of the field. None of them bless us back. Except maybe, like I said, Japan. They curse us. The Boer people fed the whole continent, and they're down there killing the farmers, and they're helping the Afrikaners to replace the Boer people. Again, the Germans are being abused. The father sent these German Boers to the continent of South Africa. There was nobody in those countries. The blacks have admitted that. They weren't living in those countries. They were living in the middle of Africa, the Negroes. So the white man came in there, the Boers, and they made something out of the land. And then all of a sudden, the Jews said, well, we've got to steal everything from them and replace them because they're Germans and we Jews hate the Germans, you see. And that's what's going on. That's why you're seeing the world ignore this great replacement of the Boer people in South Africa. You're watching a genocide of white people. And so what has happened? These blacks, instead of saying, no, we're true to these Boer people, they gave us good living, and they gave us, of course, King Zwelithini, or whatever his name is, the Zulu king, he said such things, that it was better under white rule, and that he castigated his own people for saying, for turning the place into a garbage pit where you can't even see the sidewalks any longer. So instead of them standing with us against the Jew and against the Freemasonic Afrikaner, Freemason traitor, they stood with them, and they're killing our people and helping to kill our people. And now the locust is feeding upon the Horn of Africa, and it's the worst it's been in 25 years, and glory to the Father in heaven. My prayer has been to Yahweh to cull the beasts of the field. They've surrounded the woman. They've surrounded us, the bride of Christ, the woman of Israel, and they're doing us great harm, and we need a respite. You've heard me talking about this in the last 3 or 4 weeks. Whatever's going on, you do see a culling of the people, and you do see a major thing. If you don't know about the locusts in Africa, you better take a look at it. It's heavy duty. Praise be to the Father in heaven who answers prayers of his children. You see, that's in line with his word. He said, those who bless Israel shall be blessed, but those who curse Israel shall be cursed. It's nice to see that the African continent is being cursed. And my prayer is that if anybody sends food over there for those people, that it will be spoiled. In the mighty name of Yahweh, I prayed that and pray that right now, that it will be, may it be spoiled. You see, they weren't happy being blessed and eating very well while the white Boer people were helping to feed the whole continent. Now the continent is starving again, and now it's going to be further starving again. And I don't think anybody should give one red cent, as they say, red cent. As they say, nobody should give one red cent towards them. I would let them rot. Wouldn't you? Don't they deserve that? Absolutely. And I know that the devil will try to prop them up through people like the Jew Bill Gates, who tries to say he's not a Jew, but just look at his face. He's walking around with jars of poop. He's mentally ill. You see? And I will continue, and I ask you, dear brothers and sisters, to pray these imprecatory prayers. It's time. You see, we're being judged pretty hard, and judgment starts in the house of Yahweh. But these other people have played their cards. They've decided to go against the woman, all these beasts of the field, except for what I would say probably would be Japan. And they've all come against us. They've all decided to and chose to follow after the devil. Even some of our own people have chosen that, as you can see in our governments. And when I prayed about this culling, I prayed that it would not touch the Anglo-Saxon people, except for those traitors. And may those traitors be touched by it. May hell be increased on a daily basis, as it always is, before hell is insatiable. Now, I would like our traitorous people to turn around and repent, but it's just not likely. And that was in the prayer. If they would repent, then nothing would happen. But if they will not repent, may it proceed. Please pray these prayers against the beast of the field, for our people need some respite. That means a rest, some relief from what's going on in our countries, etc., etc. The judgment is super harsh. But as I say to the Father always when I pray prayers, thy will be done, nevertheless. So it is in his capable hands, and there are no more capable hands than the Father's, I assure you. So, the book continues. It is evident that the Jews are not willing to admit that they bear a great part of the guilt of the destruction of the Roman Empire and for the catastrophe that this signified for civilization. But the pleasure they felt at the fall of Rome and the general confirmation that they felt a solidarity with the Arian barbarians in their wars against the Catholic monarchies reminds us that the principal Catholic monarchy against which the Teutonic disciples of Arius fought was in fact the Roman Empire of the West. Now there it is, you know, our people believing in the Arian conspiracy, you know what I mean? And there was a brother that wanted me to define that, and I told him I have already read about it, but I will try to do a show where we really get it solidified on what this Arian, you know, conspiracy is. It has to do with the Trinity. It has to do with, it can be confusing because different people say different things about it. In order to illuminate the historical truth and define the responsibilities, one must strive to gain a profile of this and at the same time take into consideration that the destruction of the then prevailing order and its replacement by one that favored them suited no one more than the Jews. Of course. Almost all Teutonic tribes penetrating into the empire were Aryan. That's not Aryan as in white, but they were white. But that's Aryan in they believed in the Aryan conspiracy. Among the few exceptions stand out the Franks, who embraced Christianity from the beginning. Now, that's very interesting. Speaking of the political change that took place with the invasion of the barbarians, the Philo-Semite J. Amador de los Rios says the following in relation. They call him a Semite. Philo-Semite. Rios says the following in relation to the Iberian Peninsula. And you know that that's Spain. It was in this way that when Aryan tolerance had made the way free to a hitherto unknown prosperity, the Jewish community on the Iberian soil became stronger during the first epochs of the Visigoth rule. Now, he said the Israelite. Does he mean the white, or is he speaking of the Jews? Thanks to their intelligence and their wealth, they attained no less favor and importance and came to enjoy the exercise of public offices, which provided Jewry with an unusual regard within the Republic. Okay, so they're talking about Jews, not Israelites. See, this book is one of the only books I've ever seen that calls Jews Israelites. I don't know why he keeps going back and forth in this book, and he says the Jew Gretz, who's a historian and historian, and then he'll say the Israelite Gretz, like as if he's on an agenda to say, well, they're the same thing. They're not. In turn, the Jewish historian Cecil Roth refers to the fact that the Aryan Visigoths favored the Jews, in contrast to the Catholics whom they persecuted. The Jewish historian, see here it is again, the Jewish historian Gretz gives us an example which proves what good conditions the Jews enjoyed in the lands conquered by the Nordic Aryans, in contrast to that under which they lived in the Catholic kingdoms. He relates to us at first that in the then Catholic Byzantine Empire, one of the emperors drove the Jews out of their synagogue and converted it into the Church of the Mother of God. So you turned it from one pagan thing to another pagan thing. And that in the midst of such persecutions, the Jews had then to drag the sacred vessels out of the Temple of Solomon from one place to another until they were conveyed to Carthage. Which was then under the rule of the Aryan Vandals. Gretz then continues. They remained there almost a century, and it was with great sorrow that the Jews of the Byzantine capital witnessed their translation to Constantinople by the conqueror of the Vandal kingdom, Belisarius, Bel. With triumphant cries, the Jewish trophies were dragged away together with Gelimer, the prince of the Vandals and grandson of Genseric, as well as the treasure of the unfortunate monarch. Well, those treasures weren't the Jews anyway. Those were the Israelite kingdom's treasures. Solomon was not a Jew, but he should have been, the way he ended up. But Solomon was no Jew. During the disintegration of the Roman Western Empire by the Aryan barbarians, the Jews devoted themselves in great style to the slave trade. Are you listening? In this respect, the Jew Gretz affirms that the repeated invasion of the barbaric tribes and the countless wars caused by the number of prisoners to rise, and the Jews carried on a lively slave trade, although they were not the only ones to do so. So we're talking about white people this time with the Jews, not blacks. It's worth noting that the Jews played a main role in the slave trade in the course of history, and that in the 17th and 18th centuries, they were the principal traders in this disgraceful business. They seized the unfortunate Negroes in Africa and mercilessly dragged them away from their homesteads in order to sell them in various parts of the world, especially in America, as slaves. Now, let's just stop right there. Number one, they were sold by their own people, who also kept them as slaves, and do today. Number two, most of the slave owners in America were Jews. So it's funny how this is not mentioned very often, but we all have read it and know about it. And to point out the hypocrisy, of the Jews, you will notice that the Jews call Americans slave owners and rebuke us for being slave owners when they're the ones that brought these Negroes here, and they're the ones that mostly owned these Negroes here. How quaint. Chapter 10, Catholic victory. Not Christian victory. Not the heavenly realm or the heavenly father's victory, but Catholic victory. The conquest by the East Roman Empire of the great territories controlled by the Aryan barbarians, as well as the conversion to Catholicism of all Teutonic princes who previously belonged to the sect of the Jew Arius, once again altered the situation in Europe. Let me just stop again here and mention that when the Byzantine Empire was brought down, who do you think brought that down? Who brought Rome down? And then who is bringing America down and bringing Europe down and brought Greece down? Who brought the Byzantine Empire down? Who brought barbarians in once again, opened the gates for them? Who brought Babylon down? You see what I'm saying? Who's bringing down Iraq and all the different countries of the world today and using American soldiers to do it? Who I would say are barbarians for obeying these people. They're not heroes, are they? They're not doing anything for our freedom. You can't seriously believe that, can you? Do you have freedom? Sure you do. So, with the triumph gained by Catholicism over this heresy, there naturally arose a new situation for the Jews, which brought with it the loss of their privileged position and prevented them from further harassing the Christians. It must be remarked that Aryan control over the immigrant Teutonic tribes was weak, since it fundamentally depended upon the conversion and loyalty of their leaders to the heresy. When the latter were now gained for Catholicism, not Christianity, but Catholicism, which is pagan Christianity. Just understand what we're reading, folks. Through the restless evangelizing labor of the Holy Church, he says here, Arianism received its death blow. It is hardly surprising that following all the abuses and excesses committed by the Jews while they were protected by the heresy, its collapse led to a truly anti-Jewish reaction in the lands newly conquered for the Church of Rome, not for the Kingdom of Heaven, not for the Father in Heaven, not for Jesus Christ, but for the Mother of God. Even José Amador de los Ríos, who was so favorable to the Jews, after mentioning the fact that the Jews in the Aryan epoch scaled the government posts and were able to obtain an unusual influence, allowing them, contrary to the decision of the Illyrian Council, which had been made a dead letter by the Arians, to keep Christian slave girls and concubines, says the following. I hope you're listening. Such esteemed prerogatives, denied to the Spanish Latin people by the Visigoths, in flat contradiction to the decisions of the Illyrian Council, may have flattered the pride of the descendants of Judah. What he's saying is, he doesn't understand that they're not the descendants of Judah. They're the Edomites. They're the descendants of Edom. So I'll change that. May have flattered the pride of the descendants of Edom for a while, demonstrating their superiority, but they nevertheless gravely endangered their future when Catholic doctrine arose victorious over the errors of Arius, the Jew. On the other hand, the Jews attempted in every manner to prevent the triumph of the Catholic armies. Thus, in the case of the Ostrogoth Empire established in Italy, where the Jews had already begun to have conflicts with Theodoric, we see how, at the threat of an invasion by the Catholic Emperor Justinian, they resolutely stood by their Arian friend King Theodatus, Theodoric's successor, with tenacity and fanaticism. Later, when the armies of Justinian attacked Naples, the inhabitants of the city divided into two parties. Hello. Of which one wished for capitulation and the other for war. In this case, the party resolved upon war was not willing to sacrifice itself for the Ostrogoths, who, according to Gretz, were hated throughout Italy. And on this point, the Jewish historian stresses, this is what Gretz says, only the Jews had two legal scholars, Pastor and Asclepiodotus, who had risen high thanks to the influence of the Ostrogoth kings, opposed the surrender of the city to the Byzantine general. The Jews that were rich and patriotic offered their lives and their property for the defense of the city, sure, and to dispel any concern about the shortage of provisions. They promised to supply Naples during the siege with every necessity. Given the extensive nature of this work, it is not possible for us to quote further examples of this kind, but there is no doubt that the Jews everywhere desperately attempted to prevent the triumph of Catholicism over Arianism. Amazing, isn't it? See, it's interesting to see some of this history, isn't it? And you can see history from different eyes, of course. It continues. In relation to what occurred after the decisive victory of Holy Church, he says, events in the Visigoth kingdom speak for themselves. It had been the most mighty monarchy that the Arian barbarians had managed to found. It had been regarded as the principal bastion of Arianism, and it had been there, as we have seen, that the Jews, he called them Hebrews, the Jews had succeeded in rising to government posts and gaining such privileged influence. The Jewish historian Cecil Roth notes that after the Visigoths had gone over to Catholicism, they began to show the traditional zeal of neophytes. The Jews immediately suffered the unpleasant consequences of such zeal. When in the year 589, Recared came to the throne, ecclesiastical legislation began to be applied to them down to the smallest details. His successors were not so strict, but when Sisebutus ascended to the throne in 612 to 620, a narrow-minded fanaticism predominated, perhaps goaded by the Byzantine emperor Heraclius, or Heraclius. He passed an edict in the year 616, in which he had commanded all Jews of the kingdom to take baptism under the threat of banishment and the loss of all their goods. According to the Catholic chroniclers, 90,000 embraced the Christian faith. 99, the devil's number. 90,000 embraced the Christian faith. In the Byzantine Empire, measures were also approved which aimed at converting Jews to Christianity. This is a big mistake. The Jewish Castilian Encyclopedia says that Justinian, ordering the reading of the Torah, the Bible in Greek, hoping for the conversion of the Jews by this method, and in 532 he declared null and void every testimony made by a Jew against a Christian. This measure was later raised to a law almost everywhere in Christendom, having its logical foundation that the fact that the Jews, feeling themselves justified in lying to Christians and non-Jews, provided such widespread false witness that it would have been puerile to give credit to them. For this reason, any testimony made by a Jew against a Christian was denied judicial validity, and it had been proved in the course of centuries that lies and deceptions are one of the Jews' most utilized and effective weapons. Again, patterns of the Jews, and remember I told you that hypocrisy is one of the marks of the Jew, and Jesus Christ noted that to us over and over and over again. Well, here again, listen what he says. That for this reason, any testimony made by a Jew against a Christian was denied judicial validity, as it had been proved in the course of the centuries that lies and deception are one of the Jews' most utilized and effective weapons. Also, we know about slander, which are part of lies, right? All these measures which the Christian states introduced in order to achieve the conversion of the Jews, ranging from peaceful persuasion to force, originated from the apostolic fervor of the Holy Church, eager to guide unbelievers to the true religion. You see, this proves to you, ladies and gentlemen, that these people knew nothing about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, these Catholics, it's all about Paul's gospel. Paul calls the gospel his gospel. He admits that it is not the gospel of Jesus Christ because he says it's his gospel. If it was the gospel of Jesus Christ, he would have said so. And so Jesus taught in parables. See, all these supposed holy men in the Holy Church were blind, because they were listening to the Apostle Paul's gospel, which Marcion had promoted and got back into the canon. Now, you understand? These Catholics had no idea that Jesus did not want the Jews to convert to Christianity. That's why he taught in parables. And they walk blindly right into this thing over and over again, trying to convert the Jew. Later, Spain did the same thing in 1492. Because the Catholic Church is as blind as a bat, it has no idea what the gospel of Jesus Christ and the gospel of the kingdom is. But it does know what the gospel of Paul is. Thinking that you could convert a Jew to Christianity, you'd have to be an idiot. And Jesus Christ let us know this over and over and over. Pardon my raising my voice, telling me that Paul is legitimate. Get lost. It's ridiculous. See, these are the fruits of the Pauline gospel. They're trying to convert Jews, thinking, oh, we can bring Jews, and if they would just listen to the Bible, they'll definitely, and he's even reading them the Torah, which they split up our testament into two testaments and then ripped out the heart in the middle, and they claimed the older part of the testament for their own, and these idiot Catholics who have claimed that they're so wonderful and so wise and so holy and so this and so that, they don't even understand the basic things of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't know that the Jew cannot be converted. If the Jew were to be converted, Christ would have done so. Let me get off my high horse here. Are you laughing? Sorry, but I am very passionate about Yeshua and his gospel. I love the Father. I love that he came down here to do what he did for us. Who would do that for you but him? Who would do that for me but him? You wouldn't count on any of us doing that for him, would you? Our people can't even agree on what the name of the Father is. We got one guy calling him Jehovah when I told you that's the devil's name. Anyway, simultaneous both, it's unbelievable. Simultaneously, both Holy Church as well as the Catholic states recognize the vitality necessity of putting an end to the synagogue of Satan, which was in fact a group of foreigners infiltrated into the Christian states, ever conspiring against both the church and the state. Hearing that? It was a permanent danger. Now, he has said in this book that the Jews never convert. And we have heard this over and over and over again, that though the Jews have pretended to convert, what they did was they pretended to convert, but they kept on with their traditions of men, you know, the thing that they were castigated about, and they subverted the churches by pretending they were Christians. Now, had these people known the gospel of Jesus Christ and known the teachings of Christ and known why he taught in parables so that the Jews would not understand and told them that they were the offspring of the devil, they could have saved themselves a lot of trouble. But see, they don't know. And they're not awake. And they have not been awake. You cannot navigate the Jew like that. You don't understand. But Christ understood. And I'm speaking to the Catholics. Well, I mean, I'm speaking to all of us too. You can't convert a Jew. If you think you can, you don't understand. You don't know what the Jew is. The Jew is born spiritually dead from the womb. You can tell they're spiritually dead, can't you? Just because they bob their head like a mental patient at an old Roman fort, which they're pretending is a wall that was left on the King Solomon's temple, which is calling Jesus Christ a liar because he said every stone would be taken down, and it was. People, please, please, for God's sake, for Yahweh's sake, please use your brains. There are those of you who I'm speaking to, and there are those of you who I'm not. So don't get upset with me. So, it was a permanent danger both for the stability of its institutions as also for the defense of those peoples against their external foes. And this especially as the Jews have always shown themselves quick to betray in any country. The Jews, listen very carefully, please. The Jews have always shown themselves quick to betray any country kind enough to offer them hospitality. What was I just telling you? What was I just telling you? Are the Jews quick to betray America? Were the Jews quick to declare war on Germany in 1933? Huh? You see, they don't have any love. See, there's no point in preaching a gospel to them because they don't love their neighbor. They don't even love their fellow Jew. They'll stick together and work with them, but they hate each other as well. Never mind, they're pretending they're one of the tribes of Israel. They have no, if they were, they would have no love for the other tribes of Israel. They've shown this over and over and over. But they're not of any of the tribes of Israel. It's a lie. It's a deception. And it's slander. It's all kinds of things. Mostly it's a fable. One of the many, many fables. And let me tell you something right now. Whosever fable it is the Apostle Paul's responsibility that gave birth to the Catholic Church in the sense of what it transformed itself into. His doctrine, they adhered to it and morphed into what they are. And their fruit is bogus. And this is one of the biggest deceptions that has ever taken place in the history of the world. The Catholic Church has never been a Christian church. They have never been legitimized by the Father in heaven, and neither has the Apostle Paul. They're all self-appointed. So, again, let me read this one more time. And this especially as the Jews have always shown themselves quick to betray any country kind enough to offer them hospitality, providing support to foreign invaders and undermining the very heart of the unfortunate nation that offered them shelter, should it suit their selfish interests. We've seen this in Babylon. We've seen this in Rome. I'm repeating. We've seen this in the Byzantine Empire. We've seen this in Greece. We've seen this in America. We've seen this in Europe. We've seen this in Eastern Europe. We've seen this in Russia. We've seen this everywhere. It is just as viable right this very moment as it was when this book was written and before that. See, it's said that this was proven over the centuries. One way of solving such a tremendous problem seemed to be that of eliminating the unwholesome sect of Jewry by converting them to the Christian faith. Now, that's definitely not. Jesus Christ would have castigated you for such an idea. He knew better than that, but you didn't. As a result of their ceasing to be Jews and joining the people in whose lands they lived by incorporation into the Catholic religion, not only would that strange fifth column disappear, which it didn't, which represents a danger for every nation, but the salvation of their souls, sure, would be, we're trying to save devils and their father the devil, sure. The Catholic Church wants to save Jews, and they claim that the Jews' father, Lucifer, is God. These are the fruits of the Apostle Paul and the fruits of the Catholic Church, which is a fruit of the Apostle Paul. You see, if it was a fruit of Jesus Christ, it wouldn't be in the condition it's in. If it was a fruit of Jesus Christ, it would have been in the seven churches in the book of Revelation. It was definitely left out of there for a very big reason. How is it that the biggest church that has ever existed throughout the world has been left out? That's the things the Father, those are the types of things the Father has revealed. It blew me away. You don't see the Church of Rome listed, do you? So let's stop right there, ladies and gentlemen. We've run out of time, and wonderful, wonderful. I was able to, it raised my ire here. Ireland, get it? So, I hope you're getting what's going on. You see how the Catholic Church does not understand the Bible at all? I won't go through all the things about calling somebody your father and all the different things and wearing hats when you pray and all the different things. This alone should tell you something. They're trying to convert Jews. Jesus Christ did the very opposite of that. If they were had the Holy Ghost and they were so wise, wouldn't they know such a thing? The Apostle Paul says to the Jew first and then to the Gentile all this salvation. See? And don't give me the Judean stuff. That works in some places, but it doesn't work in all places, ladies and gentlemen. The Apostle Paul was a Jew from Tarsus. He was a Pharisee. He grew up among the Jew Pharisees, and his dad was a Pharisee. And who knows, maybe his dad was. I doubt it, though. Anyway, praise be to the Father in heaven, for he is alone is worthy. He is the Most High. And all glory be to him, for his is the kingdom forever and ever, so be it.
They bring disgrace. A man without a face. The sands of time they pass again. It's so hard to tell where and when. Yeah, just do the best you can. Lines that they told erased. A man without a face. A man without a face. A man without a face. A man without a face.